Morning, Ben. I owe you a phone call. What time is good to call you this morning?
You can call me after the... Sure.
Okay, that's fine. I'll call you all the
way. Whatever.
Okay, fine.
Okay, is it... Okay, we start. Zech nish masavi Murray Yaakov ben Yisrael Pilchas Zech nish was Daniel Shein was Yeshua Falak. Okay, the shir today is I wanted to speak about in Yonei Kvura and Shiva. It all has to do, of course, the Ptira of Rav David Feinstein this week, and therefore that brought back some ideas of different shitas of Rav Moshe, Agabe Kvura, and things like that. So I thought it would be apropos in the memory of the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal Rav David to say some of these things. Baruch Hashem, I had a relationship with Rav David. My wife is from the Lower East Side, and we spent many Yom Tovim together, especially Sukkos. Because we were in the same sukkah together for many Yom Tovim, because he had the communal sukkahs in the Lower East Side. And Baruch Hashem, for many of the Yom Tovim, we were in the same communal sukkah, because two of his sons were in our sukkah, so he joined along with them. So, okay. The Gemara Mai Katan. We know the halacha is that the Shiva begins after the Kvura. Once there's the Kvura takes place, that's when Shiva begins. But what if a person is not going to be attending the Kvura? Say, for example, he's going to malava the mace up to a certain time, but then he's going back. He's not going to be there. Or say, for example, today, Bezman Hazeh, that a lot of people like Reb David, Reb Moshe, they buried them in Eretz Yisrael. So if the people are going along to Eretz Yisrael and they're going to be there in Eretz Yisrael for the Kvura, then they're going to start the Shiva when the Kvura takes place. But what are the people who are not going along? So the Gemara says in Mora Cotton, Mehadrichu apaychu, when you turn your back, that's when you begin the Shiva. In other words, whatever amount that you're going, you went, and now you turn your back, and now you're not going anymore. So then already, the person could begin the Shiva. The Rambam writes a Lashon. Why is that? Why is that, the Rambam says? Why is it that... Why don't they wait till the actual Kvur takes place? So the Rambam says, because they don't know when it's taking place. Well, they don't know when it's taking place. In other words, you know, they would malava the mace to, you know, they would walk out of the, in the old days, the Beis HaKvaros would be in the suburbs, they wouldn't be in the city, and he would say, walk with the mace until the gates of the city, and then the people who were actually going to the Kvura, they were going all the way to the Mace Olam, and this other person was just going to malava the mace till the confines of the city gate, and then he would go back. So the Rambam says, because you don't know. So the question that the poskim have is, today we know, right? Today, you have cell phones, you have all types of communication, you could know till the second, that it's happening, when exactly it's happening. So this idea that we don't know is not applicable. So therefore, should we say that this person passed away in New York, and then they're bringing him to Eretz Yisrael, and then he and he's not going on the flight, this individual, this relative. Therefore, he should go ahead. And so our custom is that he starts right away. The person who doesn't go, as soon as he, you know, whatever he, Levoy, he's doing, he's going to the airport, and then they'll board the plane, and then he's not going on the plane, he's going to go back home wherever he lives in America. So that's the minute. But the question that Poskim ask is, why is that? Because since the Rama writes the Lashon, lo yodu, then... That doesn't apply, Bezman Hazeh. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says that it doesn't matter. He says, lo yodu is not to be taken literally. It means that since you're not going, and they're going, like the Ramban says, a far distance, so you're like Masuluk from the story. So since you're Masuluk from the story, you're not being Malava anymore. So even technically, you know, Bezman Hazeh, we can know exactly when the Kfur is taking place. We can even see it from a distance, right? You have a proper video screen or whatever. You could see it, you know, everything to the second. But that's the minhag, what Rav Moshe paskened. That became the minhag, that even people who are not going are going to start Shiva right away. So soon as they finish their hisaskus. There is a machloikis between Rav Rafael Shapiro and the Netziv. Who is Rav Rafael Shapiro? So Rav Rafael Shapiro was the son-in-law of the Netziv. He wrote a sefer called Torah Rafael. The Netziv, I'm sure you've all seen. The Torah Rafael, I don't know if you've all seen the Torah Rafael. The Torah Rafael is a tremendous sefer. It's not as known to many, many people as the Netziv is known to many people. But it's an off-the-charts sefer. It's an amazing sefer. So listen to who he was. Rav Rafael Shapiro was the son-in-law of the Netziv and the father-in-law of who? Rav Chaim Brisker. Because Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So it was the Netziv, Rav Rafael, Rav Chaim Brisker. So they had a machlokes about. And so the Rav Rafael married the Netziv's daughter, and they had a machlokes in the following case. Let's take the following scenario. Now, the scenario I gave you before was a case where he wasn't. The mace died in New York, say, and then we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And he's not going along. So we said, we paskin that he starts as soon as he turns his back from his hisaskus, and he starts. But what if like this? What if there's a person in Florida, and the person died in Florida, and the relative in New York is not going to Florida, and he's not going to be at the Levaya. He's not going to be anywhere. And he finds out, but they're not doing the Levaya till the next day. Normally, you're supposed to do Levaya right away, but if you're waiting, Mishum Kvodo Shel Meis, there's a heter to what? To wait for Kovod HaMeis. So what if, say, the person dies, the relative is New York, the person dies in Florida on, say, a Monday, and the kfur is going to happen in Florida on a Tuesday. So the burial is happening on Tuesday. But this fellow in New York, he found out about it on Monday when it happened, but he's not going to Florida. So what's the halacha? When does the person in New York start Shiva? Because here, it's not like the case in the Gemara where you did some hisaskus, and now you finish your hisaskus. Here you did nothing. The guy in New York is not going to Florida at all. So the Netziv paskin, to even the guy in New York, waits till Tuesday to start Shiva, when the actual... Because the case in the Gemara, you did some hisaskus. He didn't do any hisaskus, so then you wait till the actual burial. And that's the Netziv. And Rav Rafael disagreed. Rav Rafael Shapiro said no, that in the case where you do hisaskus, so when you finish your hisaskus, you start right away. So when there's no hisaskus, So you start right away. So meaning, so the person died, say, in Florida on Monday. The kvura is on Tuesday. And the person, the relative, is in New York. So he, so the halacha is, Rafael Paskin, against the father-in-law. See, sometimes you argue with your father-in-law. He argued with his father-in-law, and he said that it should take place, the person who's in New York will start shiva right away on Monday, even though the kvura is not till Tuesday. That's what Rafael Paskin. But listen carefully. Rav Rafael didn't just paskin this stamazoi. When his wife passed away, the Netziv's daughter, they had this exact shaila of when to start the shiva. So the Netziv held, you wait till the kfura. And Rafael said no. So he paskined against the shver, but it came up in their own family, in his own wife, I believe. I remember when Rav Moshe Feinstein was nifter, so what happened, well, there are a lot of shilas that took place. The Levaya here, and if you remember, in America, was on Tainus Esther. The Levaya was on Tainus Esther. And they were supposed to get to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, in the middle of the night. That's where they were supposed to get there. So there was a big machlokes, and I forget who held what, between Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach about the following. This was the shaila. Normally, there's a din of halonas ha-mace. You're not allowed to wait with a mace. You have to bury him right away. So we said before, l'chvodo shel mace, you could wait. When my father, Hareini Karparis Mishkovo, who was nifter before Pesach this year, so it was the height of COVID. He didn't die from COVID, but it was in the height of COVID. And things were very not in the regular. So as soon as I heard he was nifter, I made the arrangements. We went right to the base. He got a tara. We went right to the base. He died like 10 o'clock in the morning, and he was buried by 3 in the afternoon. Because I was lucky I had a minion of people. I had a minion, but normally you're waiting for this one, that one. No waiting for anybody. We were going straight, and we buried, and we didn't have to rely on the heter of halanas hames. That's very rare in America to have such a thing, that you're able to... So that was one zchus, that Baruch Hashem, that we were able to do that. We didn't have to rely on halanas hames. Now, it says in the Gemara in Bava Kama that there's certain things, certain minhagim in Yerushalayim. One of the minhagim in Yerushalayim, ein malinis hames. So the Rishonim ask, of course, ain't a malin, it's a pasuk in Chumash. So I believe the Shita Mekubetza says, no, you know what the pshat is? In Yerushalayim, even lechvoido shel meis. Even lechvoido shel meis, you're not malin. So that's why, as you know, in Eretz Yisrael, so soon as a person dies, you put out the notifications and right away. They do the Torah right away. There's no waiting for anybody. So the shaila was, so this big minag in Yerushalayim is not to wait. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was nifter. And he was going to get to Yerushalayim in the middle of the night. And the question was, it'll be a sakana to have so many people in the middle of the night. So many people like that. It'll be a pashut a sakana. So the shaila is, should we forego the minag? And that was the machlokas between Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Again, I'm not sure who held what, but it was a machlokas between Rav Shach and Rav Shlomo Zalman. What should you do? So what'd they do? So what happened was the plane took off, and there was a problem with the plane. And they had to land, go back, and start over, and check the plane. By Talmud, Rav Moshe Tuchman told me from Rav Reuven Feinstein that the plan was that if they would have to get off the plane, they were going to just bury him in America. But since they didn't have to get off the plane, whatever they needed to do, they did. So then they went to Eretz Yisrael. But since all that time going back and waiting and this, he got there in the daytime. So Rav David Feinstein said, I heard in his name, Rav Shach said this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said this, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was machria. and the Shaila became irrelevant, because in the end, because of the delay, the whole Shaila didn't happen. But it's important, you know, the Shevet Halevi, Rav Ozna, when he was Nifter, it was a big crowd, and you know, by Rav David, you know, there was a lot of people. I went to the Levaya, there was a lot of people, but it would have been 10 times the amount of people if it wouldn't have been during COVID, you know. But it was a lot of people. But Rav Ozna's Levaya, you know, so many people, you get squished. Someone who got killed, you know, these things happen. But I'm telling you a fascinating thing by Rav Ozna. What happened by Rav Ozna? It's written up. Rav Ozna, the Shevet Halevi, he died, I believe it was the first night of Pesach. It was the first night of Pesach that he died. Nope. So what happened was, a guy called America. It wasn't Pesach yet in America. So a guy called America. He has, you know, some of his family is in Eretz Yisrael, but he has family in America also. So one of his sons was in America. So the guy called. That's a question whether he should do it, not do it. But Lamai said a guy called. And the son was told about his father's patira. So what did he do? The father wasn't going to be buried till after Yontif. Or maybe whenever. So it was already Yontif already. Not if. You know, the halacha is that on the first day of Yontif you can bury with a goy, second day Yontif, al day Yisrael. So, but already Yontif started already. You understand? So the people in Eretz Yisrael, when are they going to start Shiva? After Pesach. The son in America finished Shiva before Pesach began. Why? Because the son, it wasn't Pesach yet in America. So he found out his father died in Eretz Yisrael. It was already Yontif. But in America, it wasn't Yontif yet. So the son took off his shoes. He sat Shiva for whatever, a couple of hours. He was finished with the Shiva before his siblings in America, in Eretz Yisrael rather, even started the Shiva. Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, there's another important shaila that comes up, that when a person goes to Eretz Yisrael for the Kavura, so a lot of times they come back. So now when they come back, they're usually a day behind. Because usually we said, we paskin, that the people who stay in America, they start right away. As soon as they leave the airport. The people that didn't go on the plane. And then the people who go on the plane, it probably is not going to be till the next day. Till they get there. So it's going to be... So the people who went there to Israel, not going to come back to New York, they started their Shiva later. So the question is, should they end the Shiva together with the people in America, or should they keep the extra day? In fact, when Rav Moshe went to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Moshe was buried, Rav Reuven Feinstein went, but Rav David did not go. Rav David did not go to Eretz Yisrael. He did not go. Why that is, that's a different story. But... He didn't go. So the question is, so the machlokes, the concept of Godel Habayis, that you're Nigra Barsa the Godel, it's a whole complicated thing. It will take me 3 hours to explain it to you. But just b'kitzer, the Ramban Shita is that if the family was together in the beginning, and then some people went to Israel and they come back, then they're mitzuref to the early account of the family. And that's the psak of the Ramban, and that's the psak of the Shach. But Rav Moshe argued. He followed the Mechaber, and Moshe says, no, that you never, once you started the count, You keep your own count. So the people in Eretz Yisrael, who already started their count, the later count, when they come back, they have to keep an extra day. And that's what Rabbi David Feinstein did when his father, when he came back. He was Rav Reuven. But that's what Rav Reuven find was. Rav Reuven went to Eretz Yisrael, and then he came back, and then he went and he... Then he went back, and so he kept the extra day because the simple pshat, the Rosh says that the concept of the Godel HaBayis and these things is only if you didn't hear about it, and now you're hearing about it for the first time, then you follow their count. But if you already had your own count, because you went to Eretz Yisrael where they started later, so then when you come back, you keep your own count. And that's the psak of the Rosh and the Mechaber. And that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein paskened. So, but in contrast to the Shach and the Ramban, they paskened that if the family was together in New York, and then some of the family went to Eretz Yisrael, and some of the family did not go to Eretz Yisrael, so then the halacha is that according to the Ramban, that they mitzuref together. And the people who started later will end with the rest of the family, so they'll have less days of shiva, whereas Rav Moshe's psak and the Mechaber's psak is that no, you have your own count, then you don't follow the other count. So the people who went there, they have their own count. They started later, so they're going to end later as well. So that's a fascinating discussion. So these are the issues of the Machlokes, Rebbe Foyle, and the Netziv. If you're not going to be there at all, what's going to be? And the idea of the Godel Habayis, and then I told you the question about Ein Malinin, Meis B'Yushalayim, even the Chvodo, and the different anecdotes that we had. So these are some of the Yesodas in terms of being Koveya Dizman of Shiva, of when should Shiva begin, when should Shiva end, you know, based on this the question of people traveling and things of that sort. Okay, so now, so that's the, but that was the, that was the story. There's a discussion also whether there's aninus in the plane, because usually the halacha is that when a person loses a relative, so from the time of the misa till the time of the kvura, you don't do any mitzvahs. You don't even make a bracha. When you eat, you don't make a bracha. We assume that you're not even allowed to make a bracha. It's a funny thing that you're eating and you're just going to not make a bracha. But you potter from a mitzvah, and we assume that not only you potter, that it's also to do mitzvahs. But after the kvura, then you do mitzvahs, except for one mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of tefillin. That even though the kvura happened, so once the kvura is happening, all mitzvahs come back, except for the mitzvah of tefillin that we assume that Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't put on tefillin, even if it's after the kvura, because the tefillin is considered a pe'er, is considered an ornament, and for the first day he shouldn't be putting on tefillin. The Maritat says maybe that's only if the Yom Misa and the Yom Kvur are on the same day, but we don't follow that way. We hold that the person doesn't put on tefillin even if the Misa was one day and the Kvur was a different day, and after the Kvura, he does all the mitzvahs now. All the mitzvahs come back. except for tefillin. Except for tefillin, that Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't put on tefillin. Because Yom Rishon is already after the Kvura. Ovel is chayiv in mitzvahs after the Kvura. But tefillin is different. That's the one mitzvah that tefillin nemar bar pe'er. Tefillin is an ornament, and therefore you don't put on tefillin on Yom Rishon. That's the idea. Okay, now let's see some divrei agadas and divrei hashkafa. This week's parsha. So the Torah says by Sarah Imenu that Sarah Imenu Mea Shana Veshim Shana Veshava Shanim Shnei Chayei Sarah Kulam Shavim Latova. They were all equally good. Kulam Shavim Latova. So it's a little difficult to understand what that means. Kulam Shavim Latova. I mean, Sarah had, difficulties in life. We read the Chumash with the Yitzchak, with Hagar, Yishmael. But the Sefer Yad Shalom writes that Kulam Shavim Latova means that Sarah had Emuna Pshuta. It was the Sfarim, the Bnei Yisachar, the Sefer Ikrim, the Yad Shalom quotes, discuss there's two types of Emuna. There's Emuna that comes through philosophy and the seichel, and then there's the emuna pshuta. Emuna pshuta. You're not such a big philosopher. You're not so big. You have that pashuta emuna, Hashem. That comes from a mesorah that you get from your parents, your rebbeim, emuna pshuta. So he says that. If you look at the Medrash Rabbah, it quotes the pasuk Yodei Hashem Yimei Tamimim. That Sarah was a tamim, meaning tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, meaning you don't make cheshbonos, you don't make tamimus. You believe everything is for Yad, from the Yad Hashem. So that's what it means. Kulam Shavim Latova means that. See, if the Yad Shalom says if the moon is coming from Drisha and Chakira and philosophy. So then, the more developed the brain is, the more, you could be a bigger philosopher. But if it's the Emuna Pshuta, so that stays the same. That stays the same. Whether she was 7 years old, 20 years old, 100 years old, that was the Emuna Pshuta. So Kulam Shavim Latova means she had the attitude of Gamzu Latova, no matter what stage of her life. In other words, even in the years that things were difficult, she had difficulty in life. It wasn't everything wasn't smooth sailing, but she had a Muna that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, the Chazanish, Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Chazanish, that the Chazanish says, what's bitochon? It doesn't mean that you're going to always, it's always going to turn out the way you want it to be. It's the belief, as Rav Shech said from the Chazanish in the Sefer Emunah Bitochen, that whatever happens was the Ratzon Hashem. In other words, you might view it in a different way than what you wanted, but that's the Ratzon Hashem, and we assume Gamzu L'Tova, that's the famous Tzlach, that Be'olam Hazeh, we make Hatova Hametiv on the good things, and Chas V'Shalom Dayan Emes on the not good things. In the Osid Lovo, we're going to make Hatova Hametiv on everything. So the Tzlach says, he once heard a Darshan say, what it means is, Osid Lovo, we're going to see everything in retrospect, that even the things that we thought weren't so good, were really Gamzula Tova. That we couldn't see in as it was happening, when we see it, and that's why Lossid Lovo, even on the bad things, meaning even the things that we perceived as bad, are really in retrospect, we're going to see it Lemafreya is good. That's why we make our Tova Meitiv on everything, Lossid Lovo. And that's the Chasam Sofer says, Rav Shechter quoted me from a Rambam, but the Chasam Sofer writes this, that the Pasuk in Chisisa, for Isi Esachorai, Ufonai Lo Yero. You'll see my back, Hashem says, but you won't see my front. What does that mean? So the Chasam Sofer says means you'll understand me in retrospect from the back. While it's happening, when we're looking face to face, you're not going to understand what's happening. What's happening? But Reisa es achorai. But if you have to look back and see it in retrospect, then Reisa es chay ovanai leiro. And that's the that's the idea. That emuna, and you should know that Rav David Feinstein gave his famous chumashir on Friday morning. I went sometimes, but the people that went, all the time. I didn't go all the time, but he gave it 11 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning. He gave his chumashir, and I always said, Rav David, he's like a Tana. Meaning, Rav David never quoted, he didn't quote Rashi, he didn't quote his father, he didn't quote the Ramban, he didn't quote... He opened the Pasuk, he read it, he had his own questions, his own answers. So it's like a Tana. A Tana opens the Pasuk, and look in Medrash Rabbah. He opens the Pasuk, and he zugs. And all things Rav David were about Emunah b'Hashem, and realizing Hashem's... our relationship with Hashem. Rav David, as was mentioned, as we know, Rav David was one of the big poske hador. He was Magid Shir, Rosh Hashiva, and Rabbi Ganzweig at the Levi said, Rav David was a big Baal Chesed. But another aspect of Rav David was a big Baal Amuna. He was a big Baal Amuna. And sometimes we never speak about Amuna enough. Thinking about Hashem, realizing how Hashem's involvement in every aspect of our lives. And Rav David was a big Baal Amunah. And Rav David had Yisurim in his life. He lost a son. He lost a granddaughter. It wasn't very difficult. Difficult things that happened. It wasn't, he was an emotion, but he was such a pashtun. You see Rav David in the old days walking in, MTJ, he would go into the bakery, he'd have his shopping bags. You have to see, there's a beautiful clip. I don't know if you can get it. If you should get it, you see it. There's a clip. Rav David used to go every Thursday night to Queens. What was he doing in Queens? He would go to Aaron's, the grocery. He would go to Queens, he would go to the grocery, and he would pick out the tomatoes for Shabbos, and there's a clip there. The person who's the emceeing the clip, he said, "This is the Zin from Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, Yedda Erev Shabbos." Every Erev Shabbos, he meant Thursday night, he would go with this man, Eugene. Eugene was a short man in the community, and he was one of Rav David's shamasim. And he would take. He would go with Reb David. There are different people. There's Reb Yisachar Ginsburg who used to drive Reb David around to chasanas and everything. And then and Eugene. And Eugene was always with Reb David. You want to know where's Reb David? You ask Eugene. And there's the clip of Reb David picking up the tomato and looking at the like someone picks up an esrog to but that's the. His involvement in we were just learning in Shir that the Amoraim used to prepare for Shabbos themselves. One would cook the fish, and one would do this. So Rav David, he was involved in Hachana l'Shabbos. And the question, the Alter Rebbe asked the question, but you're such a big Talmid Chacham, Tarasu Umnosu, what gives you the right to... to Mevatel Torah for this? So the Alter Rebbe says no, because you can Mevatel Torah by something that's Chovas Aguf. No one's going to say, how can you put on tefillin? You should be learning. No, certain things you can give to someone else to do. You can make a shliach, but certain things are Chovas Aguf. The Alter Rebbe says, Achana for Shabbos is a Chovas Aguf. And then Rabbi Randy Levy said over, because every Jew has this make an affirmation of the belief of Shabbos through his Hachana B'Shabbos. So Reb David would take Reb David every Erev Shabbos, Thursday night, to Aaron's in Queens to go shopping for Shabbos. You know, Reb David didn't have any, he wasn't a person that had any airs about him. He was a very, you know, pashtistic person. You know, see him in the street, in the Lower East Side, you know, many Shabbos mornings, and it was Lower East Side, I walked with Reb David, because my in-laws and Reb David both lived right off the drive, the FDR drive. Reb David's yeshiva, MTJ, was a good half an hour walk from the drive into Chinatown there. It wasn't right next door. And the Young Israel, at that point, was a good 20 minutes also off the drive, so we overlapped in the route there. But Reb David was a very big Pashtun. He was a very, you know, no airs about him. You know, you'd see him on the street, people went over to him. You know, I remember in the sukkah, so the communal sukkahs in the Lower East Side. And in the old days, there were so many people that they had to do two shifts to get everyone in. Now, so Reb David's coming all the way from the yeshiva, so he would always get there late. And I remember him, the sukkah was full, and he was just waiting by the side for a table to become vacant. In other words, he didn't say, oh, I'm Reb David, you know, that's not him. You know, he waited patiently by the side, and then his family could get a table. He didn't say, you know, oh, we have to, you know, to kick someone out quicker. To, you know, waited patiently till the table became vacant. And that was the anivas of Reb David. Ish pashut. And it's a tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael. It's a, you know, just to have a person in the generation of such pashtus but such godless. You know, on the other hand, he was such a pashtun, but he had the tremendous self-confidence in psak halacha, on any areas of halacha. You know, to paskin, he had broad shoulders. You know, to paskin shailas that other people would not necessarily want to paskin or get involved in paskining. He was, and that was, but yet, because he knew, he had the confidence to do so, he was mechuyev to do so. But yet he was a person, on the other hand, who's just waiting to get the next table. And you know, Reb David would eat every morning breakfast in the pizza store. They would take him to the pizza store, he would eat breakfast in the pizza store. But you should know that eventually the pizza store closed. So what'd they do? So they would drive him to Williamsburg to another pizza store. He still went to the pizza store to have breakfast. You know, how many gedolim are going to go to a pizza store to go in every morning and have breakfast in the pizza store? Reb David was a pashtun. He was a Lower East Sider. You know, a Lower East Sider. So that was his pashtus, was his godless, and so when we heard, it was last week right before Shabbos that we heard of the patira of Reb David, and it's a tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael. But as it was said in Levi, Reb David would be the first one to want everyone to continue, to want the community to flourish, the yeshiva to flourish, not to have yeyish, not to have, you know, to continue. And it was mentioned by the Levi, Morty Feinstein mentioned, you know, Reb David would come to anyone, a person wanted him, he needed a Messiah Kedushin at the wedding. He was always, so he'd get in the car, Rabbi Yisachar Ginsburg would drive him, and the Rebbetzin, and that's the story. So Yehi Zichro Baruch. So I was just, you know, it was Parshas Chayetz Rakfura, and it was the Mitzvah of Reb David. So these are the things that were crossing my mind. I figured it would be appropriate to say some of these things over this morning. I wish everyone a good Shabbos. It's good to see you all. And be healthy, be safe, and have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much, Robert.